Hi, this is Daniel Garvin Movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Many film critics, including myself, say that the most important part of a movie is its story. But that's not always true. This week, I'm looking at two new movies where it's all about the vibe, all about the mood, not the plot. There's a cook cooking in 19th century France and a musician making music in 1970s Jamaica. Bob Marley, One Love, directed by Reynaldo Marcus Green. It's 1976 in Kingston, Jamaica. Bob Marley, played by Kingsley Benadire, and the Wailers are riding high with a string of worldwide hits, but the city is in turmoil, rocked by gang violence in the run-up to a crucial election. U.S. guns are flooding into the country. Bob Marley plans a Smile Jamaica concert to bring peace and lessen the tension between supporters of the leftist PM Manning and the pro-American conservative candidate Siega. Bob, known as Skipper to his friends, is Rastafari, an anti-colonialist Afrocentric religion calling for a return to Africa from Babylon. But just days before the concert, Bob and Rita Marley, played by Lashana Lynch, and others were shot and wounded in a planned assassination attempt, with a car full of armed gang members invading their compound to stop them from singing. Well, the concert goes through as planned, but they're forced to move to London for safety. There, they put together their next album, Exodus, and embark on a tour of Europe to be followed by a triumphant trip to Africa, Bob Marley's dream. The album is a huge hit and his fame grows, but there's trouble brewing between Bob and Rita, who have known each other since they were kids. They also face financial questions. Are they being cheated out of their money by backroom management? And a wound to Bob's foot is from a soccer game isn't healing like it should. Can Bob and Rita work out their problems? Will they ever make it to Africa? And can Bob Marley and the Wailers return to Jamaica to live in peace? Bob Marley, One Love, is the long-awaited biopic about the musician and his life. Aside from a few flashbacks to his childhood and his early days as a musician, the film focuses on just a couple years of his life in the 1970s. So we see the musicians playing in studio and at stadium concerts, hanging out in nightclubs and concert halls, or writing new songs at home. We also see them smoking spliffs, a Rastafarian sacrament, and playing soccer or foosball in their off hours. But what we don't get much of is Bob Marley's inner thoughts, his love life, his heart and soul. There's a common problem in hagiographic biopics that are approved every step of the way by his family. Bob Marley is sanctified, but he's not humanized. There seems to be a glass wall separating the audience from the character. At the same time, there are some fascinating revelations about his past and interesting glimpses into the workings of the Jamaican music scene, mainly through flashbacks. So we get to see Scratch Perry in studio and the Wailers grooving on stage. The script is not great. It drags a bit, but photography is quite pretty, and the acting, largely played by British actors speaking Jamaican patois, is believable. But most important of all is the music, which sets the vibe that keeps the film moving all the way to the finish. It's the music that makes Bob Marley, One Love, worth seeing. The Taste of Things, or La Passion de Dodin Buffon, co-written and directed by Tran An Hung. It's the late 19th century in France. Eugénie, played by Juliette Binoche, is an haute cuisine cook at a chateau surrounded by a lush vegetable garden. She's preparing an elaborate meal for Dodin, played by Benoit Magimel, and his fellow gourmets. She's assisted by Violette, the maid, and supervised by Daudin. And what a meal it is, with each dish requiring multiple stages and dozens of steps. Even something as simple as consommé is actually a complex, refined broth known for its subtle flavors. We follow each step from picking vegetables in the garden to sautéing the meat, simmering it, and removing the scum. Well, this day, there's a new face in the kitchen. Violette's young niece, Pauline, played by Bunny Chagnot-Ravoir, has a preternatural ability to taste all the elements of a dish, despite not yet developing a refined palate. Perhaps she'll become Eugenie's apprentice someday. In the meantime, Eugenie takes pains to hide her occasional dizzy spells. After 20 years, Daudin and Eugenie have an unusual relationship. They work together effortlessly in the kitchen like a well-oiled machine, and at night, if she chooses to do so, she leaves her chamber unlocked so Daudin can spend the night. But it's hard to tell if they are lovers, boss and workers, or husband and wife with all that entails. What future dishes will they prepare, and will they ever tie the knot? The Taste of Things is a mouth-watering look at 19th century French cooking. It's nominally about a relationship, but not really. There's also a visit to Dine with a Wealthy Prince and a look at strange new gardening techniques, but the plot is unimportant. As I watched this movie, I wasn't thinking about why Eugenie has dizzy spells or trying to keep track of Dido's gourmet friends, which is which. It's inconsequential. It's the food that's important, the cooking and the eating. I was kept drooling for 2 hours and 15 minutes trying to guess what they're making. Oh, that's vol-au-vent. What's with the meringue? Is it baked Alaska, a.k.a. omelette à la Norvégienne? I was mentally cooking alongside the burbling, burnished copper pots on the wood-burning stove. And the eating is remarkable, including a scene where the gourmets cover their heads with white napkins as they consume a tiny songbird known as Ortolan whole. It's obscene, but remarkable. Certainly Binoche and Magimel have chemistry. Apparently they were once a couple in real life, but not enough to carry the movie. It's the food and the mood that make watching this movie worthwhile. Bob Marley, One Love, and The Taste of Things are both playing now in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.